Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, mine is like a deep mind that's full of gold. Better dig it out before the time will turn you old. Yeah. I ain't talking about the physical, I'm spiritual. If you follow with your calico, I'm Alamo. I'm standing here to make my stand until I go. Why you acting like a hater? Oh, I'm so intangible. Check it up. Some vocab in your bloody manifold. I've been making these records like I'm Barry Manilow. Ain't no telling when you fall on something, how the man will grow. Ain't no telling how you make your wealth and how the plan will show. All the people had to climb up out they mental catacombs. I'm a sellout at the drone, rapping with a megaphone. I'm a god up on this microphone, I came to raise a throne. Vibrating in a mega zone with my metronome. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my home, I can't leave alone. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my own, the mimic of the throne.
That right.
If you don't get it, press repeat and go. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my own, the mimic of the throne.
That right.
If you don't get it, press repeat and go, you'll find it.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay you dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? Keep staying true. Everything I do is from God to raise you. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, March the 11th, Monday, 3-11-2019, the day of the 8th. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, want to jump right in. Got a powerful show scheduled for you today. Each and every one of us has an attribute that has been downloaded into our disposition from the Father. That is your one word purpose. So we need to find that. We need to remove all the fluff. We need to speak clearly, simply, and succinctly so that way you can under, over, and understand and get out of the rat race and get out of groundhog state. One of the things that has been really this past week, the thing that has just really the past 2 weeks, as I've been going through and rereading some of the stuff that me and my good brother, Brother Zen Garcia, John the Baptist, and some of the brothers that I used to hang out with, you know, back in the day, when we was going through the Gnostic texts and some of the ancient texts and stuff, and I was reading the Sophia of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of Jesus Christ, which is the next thing that we'll be going through for the Private Kingdom Millionaires Training Center members. We'll go through line by line, word by word, precept upon precept, so I can assist you with the power that comes from your purpose, your position, or your innate attribute. That's what we're discussing today. So as I sit here and I look at my own life and I look at the life of members and family members and people that I encounter on a daily basis, I see how each one of us, you know, we have this fake DNA activation that's overriding the true Christos or Christ DNA activation. And then even when we do find Christ, it's the watered-down version. It's the one that was given to us by Constantine. It's not the original illuminated one that's inside of all of the ancient texts that's not included inside of the Helios Biblios. And one of the things that stands out to me is that it says in a lot of the ancient texts that the Father is not the Father, but not to call him the Father, but to call him the forefather, or to call, because he's the fore, he's before everything that you can think. He's the preeminence of all things. And this preeminence, each attribute is not a, how can I put this in the English language? See, the amount of belief that you have determines the amount of potential that you can tap into. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say it again. The amount of belief that you have, and the word belief should be replaced with the word knowledge or gnosis or Gnostic. That's where the Gnostic Gospels are not available and not, you know, published, talked about, and expounded upon, because they know, the powers that be know, the Cosmogator, Yamato, Samael, Beelzebub, you know, Belphegor, Asmodeus, Samael, Shackles, the blind god that's inside of the Helios Biblios and inside of everything that you and I have been taught. The only thing that's available to you is that. And what's extremely important is that in all of the ancient texts, what we call evil is not evil. What we call evil is actually ignorance. Because when you talk about and when you look at the essence of the foundations of the unauthorized expression that is the aborted fetus that we call mass or matter or data, which was expressed without the permission of the forefather. That expression became what you and I call life. And Yahushua came to restore and repair life. And so if I can connect you with the wrong one, the wrong Yahushua, I can connect you with the wrong life. And it's this inability to go past what you and I call darkness and evil. Because if you look at Samael, if you look at Shackles, if you look at the blind disposition, Yabato, of this dimension, what you see is not evil, but what you see is an unauthorized production that was ignorant and that was, again, devoid of truth, that was arrogant and that was cocky. All of the attributes, emphasis on the word attributes, all of the attributes and characteristics that exist in this dimension today, they existed, and that is the realm of darkness. So the realm of darkness that you are operating in right now is the realm of Yabato. And all of the ancient texts, and so we're not fighting against evil, we're fighting against ignorance. So what is the definition of evil? You see, you're looking for something bad, and it's not bad, it's something that is ignorant, it's something that is ignoring. So the realm of darkness, so the Father is taking you out of darkness, and he's translating you into his marvelous light. So light is awareness of consciousness, darkness is ignorance, or the inability to comprehend your true attribute or characteristic. And so when we talk about these true attributes and these characteristics, what we are talking about is the way that you find that is to see that. So you have to see that what we're talking about is not necessarily a moral issue. We're talking about the inability to see. We're talking about a ignorance issue. So when we look at in the ancient texts, as I will be breaking down, especially for all my members, so that way you can see, because the devil's in the details. The devil is in the etymology of God. The inability to understand the etymology of God, the etymology of love, the etymology of man, and the etymology of hate are evil. What is the etymology of evil? What is evil? What is the characteristics and attributes of evil? You and I have been taught that the characteristics and the attributes of evil has to do with something that is bad, something that happens that brings about, I'm going to use the word, a negative connotation. Is that not true? If you think about evil, what do you, if I say evil, you think what? Evil equals what? Well, that definition of evil is flawed, meaning the definition of evil doesn't come from the forefather. It doesn't come from source code. It doesn't come from the indescribable one. It doesn't come from the indestructible. It doesn't come from the infallible. And so it's returning back to that source, because if you can't see it, you can't be it. And so the inability to see, that's evil. Because Shackless, the father of evil, is on the, he's the chief ruler of the archons, or the 365 rulers, Yabato. He's the chief craftsman. He's the artisan. He's on the, he is the father of the realm of darkness. So as the father of the realm of darkness, the reason that Yabato existed is the fact that he thought he was the only one. He thought he was the prime creator. He thought that he was source code. He thought that he was the forefather. He looked around and he saw no one but himself, so to speak. And from that expression, he said that I'm the only one. I'm all power. I'm all this. I'm all that. And he got arrogant. He got cocky, if you want to use that term. And so that's evil. That's darkness. Darkness is the inability to see that it's not just about you, boo-boo. You're not the only one. The universe doesn't evolve around you. Meaning that there is a realm of light. We live in the realm of darkness. And so your niche is to expand your consciousness to the space where you can see that the thing that prohibits you from seeing the light is the thing that allows you to turn on the light. Let me say that again. The thing that inhibits you from seeing the light is the thing that allows you to turn on the light. So the thing that inhibited me from seeing the light, I'm using me as an example. So growing up all my life, one of the things that limited my ability to express, to expose, and to expand myself. Think about all the stuff, all of the stories that I've shared over the last 10, 15 years. They all had to do with this thing called confidence. So the thing that I lacked, because remember, the Father is not interested in your ability. The forefather is interested in your availability. And so the thing that you put emphasis on is not the thing that the father put emphasis on. Because your ability to actually bring about a particular product, service, or information that benefits other people more than it benefits yourself, that's the reason that you're on earth. And that you are designed is what you've been through. So to know what you've been called to do, you have to look at what you've been through. So for me, it was the inability to have assurance. So assurance meaning I wasn't sure every night if we was going to eat. I wasn't sure every night where I was going to sleep. I wasn't sure every night where we was going to sleep. Or what I was going to eat, what I was going to wear, whether or not I was getting beat, whether or not this. So I had no stability. I had no foundation. So all growing up, I didn't have anything that was, I'm going to use the word reliable. I didn't have anything, and that wasn't no one person that had the ability to impart to me foundation that made me confident or assured that this was that everything was going to be okay. I didn't have the ability to plan. I didn't have the power to control or to bring about anything that had to do with any type of a assurance. So I didn't have insurance. And so growing up with no insurance, being non-confident, not having trust, not having the ability to confide in, not having something that was undisturbed, not having something to depend upon, something that you could build upon, something that was absolute, something that was concrete, something that you could actually stand on and that you could know. Not having that ability, always having a wish or a dream, always having a rug pulled off from under you, not being able to totally unpack, so to speak, and relax. Always being in a state of hypervigilance, always being on guard, always making it, or always looking for how someone was trying to swindle, con, fidence, faith. Growing up in an environment of swindled faith. So all my life I saw faith that wasn't swindled. I mean, that wasn't assured. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. What I saw growing up was a swindled hope. It was con, fidence. It was swindled confidence. It was swindled, manipulated reliance. The reliance wasn't out of love. The reliance was out of fear. And so all my life I've been trained. All my life I've been prepared. All my life I've been going through the school of confidence. And so the one thing that no one on earth has more than, you may have the same amount, but there's nobody on earth that has more confidence than me. So what I sell is bulldog tenacity. What I sell is the stick-to-itiveness. Now, it's packaged inside of wealth. It's packaged inside of health. It's packaged inside of wisdom. It's packaged inside of relationship. But at the end, let's keep it real. When you ask what it is seven times, what you come down to, the causality of my reality is confidence. Excuse me. So the question is today, brother, I know what I sell. When I say sell, I mean give. When I say give, I mean product, service, or information. So now the question today is, what is your product? What is your service? What is your information? So to know what you called to do, all you have to do is look at what you've been through. The inability to know. Now, you I know you know a lot of things, but if you don't know, you can't believe. See, I can't believe I have confidence. I have to know. Because remember, growing up, that's what I had. All I had was a belief. But I didn't have no facts. I didn't have no knowledge. I didn't have no knowing. I had a believing. I hoped. Now I don't have to hope because my faith is preserved, is fulfilled. The Bible says that faith or hope deferred makes or waxes or wanes the heart cold. So the reason that a lot of people don't have wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship is they have a belief. They're believers. They're not knowers. And so the inability to know prohibits you from grow. So if you don't know, you can't grow. And so the number one is you got to know. The amount of knowing that you have determines the amount of potential that you have. And the amount of potential that you have determines the amount of action that you take. And the amount of action that you take determines the amount of results that you get. Somebody should write that down. Now, let me say these four steps to bring about the fifth element, which is IMR, immediate measurable results, fruit. Now, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I don't know what you smoking, what you drinking, but all I know is one thing: if your dog don't hunt, you don't eat. Where I'm from, if your dog don't hunt, you don't eat. If you don't got a product, service, information that you can provide to me that I can go in my pocket and come out with something called greenbacks, dollar bills, or if you ain't got something that allow me to overcome what the doctor says when he said you got 30 days, and I said, well, I ain't ready to check out right now. In fact, I want to add another 30 years. So if you ain't got something inside your skull to add to your life to override whatever dis-ease you got, again, you got to go with what the doctor says. See, if you don't have something, if you don't have a process in place, my brother, if you don't have a process in place, my sister, by which to produce a product, therefore, if somebody comes to you and say, Hare Krishna is God, you ain't got nothing in place to override. You don't got a knowing system. You got to go with Hare Krishna. You got to go with Buddha. You got to go with Mohammed. You got whoever, whatever God they pushing, you got to go with one of the American gods. I watched American Gods last night, and there was a quote in there that the dude said was pretty profound. He said that the old gods were fighting against the new gods, and the gods was going away because people wasn't worshiping in them. Remember, energy flows where attention goes. So if you don't put your attention on the old, then the energy doesn't go to the old, so they fade away. So the old regimen, the Piscean gods are all fading away. Now the water bearers are coming on the scene. And so the Piscean gods, the old gods, they don't want to die. So they need your attention. So they got to do things to get your attention. That's what this was all about. That's what this universe is all about. But the water bearer, the age of Aquarius is here. And so the water, and water represents life. So life has been pouring out. So what I bring about is the life management system. So I'm ushering in the age of the water bearer. And I'm pouring water on the old gods, the one that you got, Abato, Yabato, Beelzebub, Asmodeus, Leviathan, Belphegor. Those are all the old gods that they used to run the show. They had you all scarred up, and everybody was running around scarred. But it's out with the old and in with the new. It's cyclical. But without this understanding, you're stuck with a belief system. And if you got a belief system, that's the old gods. Now you don't have to have belief. You got no. You can prove. Well, let me phrase it. I can prove. But see, if you can't prove, you're stuck with the old. Then you don't have something that I got. Because remember, when I was a kid, that's what I had. I had a belief. And guess what happened? Bills didn't get paid. Business got broke. Things got took. People can lie to you because you have no way of discerning whether they're telling the truth or not. But once you establish a belief system that is replaced, once you establish a knowing system that replaces your belief system. So my question to you today, my brother, my question to you today, my sister, is I have confidence. I don't have to believe that I'm confident. I know. It came from somewhere. It came from 50 years of experience. So my question to you is, what experience do you have? Not what you read in a book. What real life experiences do you have? What have you lived, brother? What have you lived, sister? What can you tell me that nobody can dispute? Because you lived it. You didn't read it. You lived it. That's your product. That's your service. That's your information. See, I sell confidence because I never had it. So I had to go find it, and I had to get it, and I had to build it. And I have to figure out a process. So what did I do? Number one, I got rid of my belief system. And I established a knowing system. And I asked myself one question. What do I know? See, the amount of knowledge, the amount of gnosis. So it's really interesting that they took away the gnosis. Why? Why did they take away the gnosis? Now, think outside the box. Can you go to the Church of Gnosis? Anybody seen a Church of Gnosis? What about a University of Gnosis? Gnosis doesn't exist, especially in the West. Now, there's a little sprinkled around in the East, but there is no Gnosis in the West. In fact, excuse me, when I was a young whippersnapper coming up, they told me that was of the devil. You don't read any of the Gnosis or the Gnostic texts. Why? Because it breaks down the biology, and it breaks down the autogenes, and it breaks down the self-generated one, and it breaks down the allogenes, the all, A-L-L-O, genes. That's what it's called. And it doesn't break down the father. It breaks down the forefather. So you got the father, but I got the forefather. So the forefather is before the father. He's the father of father. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. But without using the language of the forefather, you don't establish the world of the forefather. So you use the language of the father. Okay, that's good. That just replaces, and that keeps you stuck like Chuck in Groundhog's Day. So you D-Y-E, change colors and come back. D-Y-E, come back. D-Y-E, come back. You never graduate and go to the next level. Because that's the system of the old generation, the old gods. And so I asked the father, who's your father? And then the forefather couldn't do nothing, but remember, if you ask the right questions, you get the right answers. Wrong questions, wrong answers. And so wrong product, wrong result. Meaning you have a dog that don't hunt. Now, getting back to under open understanding, your one word product, service, or information is the one problem that almost buried you. It's not just success, it's your problem. Because remember, in my weakness, he's made strong. It's not in my strength. So I'm not interested in what you're good at. I'm interested in what you suck at, what you're not good at. Because guess what? That's your product. That's your service. That's what you know. Why do you know it? You've been doing it all your life. Or it's been doing you. In my case, I've been getting smoked all my life. Because remember, I was born into an environment where the one thing that was certain was nothing was certain. So what do I do all day? The one thing that is certain, nothing is certain. The one thing that keep the reason that my brain can't be erased, the reason that the wipers, they can't wipe me, the reason that the controllers can't control me, the reason that the manipulators can't manipulate me, the reason that the witches and the wizards can't put no hex on me, the reason that I'm here today in my right mind giving you this talk, because of what all the witches tell me, what all the wizards tell me, what even my own wife told me yesterday. That's my gift. Gift is that. My gift is that I don't have a gift. You can't put me in no box. I'm not definable. I'm not limited. You can't put no label on me. You can't put no term. The father says that you can't put no label on him. You can't put no term on him. All of the ancient text says he's indescribable, says that he's unnameable, says that he's infallible. So if you use those terms to associate yourself, you're lying yourself with the God self. And it is this ability to over and understand confidence, in my case. Now, what is your one-word attribute? That's found in the Bible. These are called the spiritual gifts. So there are many spiritual gifts, but your job is to know your spiritual gift. So your spiritual gift, the amount of knowing, how comfortable are you in your spiritual gift? So the amount of comfort with your gift determines the amount of potential of the gift. So to the degree that you know yourself determines the potential of the self. Let me say that again. To the degree that you know the self determines, now I'm not talking about the fleshly self. I'm not talking about worldly attributes. I'm not talking about that what you learned in school. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm talking about the innate gift that was given to you by your father. And the way that you know that it's your gift is because that's what you've been going through, that's what you've developed over your life. So everybody has developed a gift because you've been through adversity. There's nobody that's listening to me that has not been through some type of adversity. Even if you're coming from generational wealth and you're a latchkey, I mean, you have a silver spoon stuck in your mouth since birth, you still had some adversity. Now, these are called the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the set apart one. Now, this is found inside of the Helios Biblios when you look at the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the way that you can tell, again, and there's primarily seven, there's some minor gifts as well, and this is inside of your Dear Kinnear report in the back where I break down the gifts that you have been given based upon the seven gifts that's determined by your name, date of birth, time and place of birth. All of these gifts are innate, meaning these are virtues. These are characteristics and attributes Now, these characteristics and attributes are not what we call characteristics and attributes, meaning these are actually, this is actually, based upon the ancient text, this is a part of God that is downloaded into a body of a man. That's what that means. So to understand your spiritual gift, it means that you are understanding God. To the degree that you understand your gift, that's the degree that you understand God. Because God put himself inside of you in the form of a gift, according to 1 Corinthians. Let me say that again. And according to all of the ancient texts that we're going to be going through the rest of this year. See, we don't value our gifts because we don't know that it's God. So God is hiding inside of you as you. Let me say that again. The Bible says the same thing. We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ in you, the hope of the glory. Hope of the glory. That's the glory. That's God. That's the doxa of God. These are the gifts. Now, these gifts are not gifts. These gifts are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the results of the Spirit. So the way that I can tell that God is inside of you is based upon the gift or the attributes that is emitted from you. Let me say it again. The way that I can tell, not by whether or not that was a quote-unquote, you know, conversion, this, that, another, it has to do with whether or not there is a emanation. There's a frequency. There's a wave, or there's a vibration. Because everything in this universe is based upon frequency, wave, or vibration. So these are the 12 fruits, if you want to use that term, of the Spirit. Now, we know them: love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So these fruits that you have inside of you are divided into three primary areas. That's the gift of knowing, the gift of doing, and the gift of speaking. So the gift of knowing, gnosis, is the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of discernment. So those are the three knowing gifts. Then what you know, that allows you to get up and do something. So then we got the gifts of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift it's called preaching, projecting, talking. Then we got the gifts of speaking or the gift of having. So what you know, what you do, what you have. So the gift of knowing, the gift of doing, the gift of having. Again, the gift of knowing is wisdom, knowledge, and the discernment. That's knowing, that's confidence. So that, again, comes from the Father. So the Father puts that inside of you, and then he allows you to go through events in your life to prove to you that you got that ability to be you. So there's a war going on inside of you to prove to you that you are you. That's what life is all about. Life is about you developing the gifts that make you you. So your spirit has to be developed so that it's most powerful than your flesh. Right now, your flesh is probably more powerful than your spirit. How do I know? Something will happen to you, and your flesh will override you. You will say a word like this: I don't know what happened, but something came over me. That's flesh. One day you get to the point where the spirit is more powerful than the flesh, and then that's how you know you, because then wisdom will override you. So when someone says something to you, you respond in wisdom. You respond in knowledge, or you respond in discernment. That's the three gifts of knowing. Now, the three gifts of doing, if you're a doer, you respond with what is called faith, the gift of faith or the gift of miracles. Then you respond in healing. That's the gift of expressing compassion. Then the gift of words or communication or preaching. That's the gift of the power of the tongue, and the power of the tongue. That means that you have the ability to say words that override people's minds. You can defuse a situation with your speech. And then there's the last three gifts, which is the gift of having. So it's knowing or being, doing and having. Being, doing and having. Being, doing and having. Having is the gifts of tongues, the gift of interpretation, and the gift of prophecy. So you're telling people what you have. So the gift of having is simply declaring and decreeing, meaning saying that I am blank before blank rise up, right? Saying I am a millionaire before you ever got a dollar in your account. That's the gift of having. So you call those things that are not as though they were. That's the gift of having. Now, once you have it, if you say it, that's not a gift. Because the gift is the ability to call those things that are not before they were or before they are. And so every one of us have an attribute or characteristic from the Father. Everybody does. Now, your attribute or characteristic from the Father could be wisdom. It could be understanding. It could be counsel. It could be fortitude. It could be knowledge. It could, you know, all of these are different gifts. Then we've got the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, or kindness. All of these are also, these are spiritual gifts. Now, you do not have to use those one word. Like, I like the word confidence. Confidence is another word for faith. So one of the gifts, spiritual gifts, is faith. So confidence comes from not having confidence. Let me say it again. Confidence comes from not having it. So the question is, what is it that you think you don't have? That simply means, what is it that you're going through? That's your gift. Because you keep going through the same thing. Because the Father is keeps on telling you the same thing. So you just keep going through the same thing over and over again. Now, the enemy is going to bring it in a different package so that way it can keep you off guard, so that way you don't overstand. If you keep going through if you keep making a lot of bad decisions, that means 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, that's your gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10, that's the chapter in the Bible that goes over the gifts. So you got one gift. I sell confidence. What do you sell? The word sell means gift. So you got to find your one attribute. Now remember, the attribute is God himself. The attribute is not something outside of you. The attribute is inside of you. So the biggest mistake everybody makes is they're looking for God when God is inside of you. So one is wisdom. So if you're making bad decisions, that's how you know you got the gift of wisdom. If you just keep making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, you're gonna keep doing that until you wake up and start making good decisions. How? With reason and logic. Knowledge. So if you are ignoring something, that's how you know you got to get some knowledge. Faith, confidence. Now that's the one I got. That's what I sell. Now everybody that's listening to me, you sell one of these nine things. That's it. There's nothing else. The way that you package it is different for me. There's a lot of people who sell confidence. Some people package confidence by doing pottery. Some people package confidence. You instill confidence in people by writing a, you know, self-help book or writing a book on diet or writing a book on dancing or, you know, writing or building houses or doing landscaping. There's many packages, but when you break down what's the reason, what's the cause of you building that house is to inspire confidence or faith. So I teach why to give confidence, to overcome error, so that way you can operate in truth. But at the end of the day, when you take away, when you unwrap the package, what you find is people feel. What do they feel? So when you're listening to this show, what do you feel? You feel confidence. You feel like, hey, I can do this. Why? That's what I sell. I sell, I can do. So every day when you tune into this show, when you buy my books, tonight when we wrap up part 7, you're going to be listening to part 7 of the Cosmos or the Cosmogratour. What you're going to be left with after that hour and a half that we talked tonight, you're going to walk away with, hey, I feel more confident that what I've been told is probably not 100% accurate, and I feel more confident that what I'm hearing is putting me and moving me closer to the direction of the forefather, not the father. Because in the ancient text, the father is not the father. The father has a father, so you should address him as the forefather, if you got to use the term. What does that do? Confidence. That gives me confidence. So at the end of the day, I do number 3, confidence. Number 1, wisdom. Number 2, knowledge. Number 3, confidence, faith. Number 4, healing. Healing, similar to faith. Healing does what? All of these are emotional gifts, because that's what a spirit is. A spirit is a group of related thoughts that brings about a powerful, heartfelt feeling. So healing has to do with overcome dis-ease. That's a gift. So something makes you uneasy. You come around and you say something, you cook something, you bake something, you sew something, you sing something. Now, remember, different packages, but underneath, it has the same frequency. I'm uneasy. You come around, and some people with their presence. There are some people can walk into the room, and their presence, oh, man, I feel easy. I feel like everything's going to be okay. That's the gift of healing. Now, there's some people actually bring about a physical healing because you know exactly what to say. You know exactly what to do. Maybe you can go into the medical. There's a lot of nurses. They went into the medical field because they have compassion for people who are uneasy, and it manifests inside of their body as disease. So you got the gift of healing. That's number four, the gift of making people who are uneasy mentally and physically, so you make them more ease. You make them feel at ease. That's number four. Number five is the working of miracles. Number five is very close to number three, which is confidence or faith. But number five in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, these are the nine one-word attributes that's put inside of every person on earth, that this is what you're supposed to give to the world. That's why you're here. You're here on earth to give. Give, and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto the bosom. To the degree that you give is the degree that you can receive. So we have not because we give not. And the reason that we don't give is we don't know what to give. So I didn't give nothing because I didn't know. I didn't know I was given a lot of other stuff, and I wasn't good at it. And then now I found out that, okay, what I've been through is what I'm called to do. So there are some people who have the gift of miracles. Now, the gift of miracles is a gift of might, a gift of what in the Greek is called charismata. It's called Christ's mother or Christ's matter or Christ's daughter. So the gift of miracles is the gift of the impartation of what is called charisma or charisma in the Greek. So what is a miracle? What? You are a miracle. I'm a miracle. We're all miracles. So the gift of the miracle is, again, similar to number three, but the gift of miracle is this ability to overcome adversity. The working of a miracle means it is the agent that brings about the ability to overcome difficulty. I like this gift because there's a lot of people. Now, confidence is a feeling. Miracles is the process. Let me tell it again. So I give people the feeling that they can be, do, and have. Then there's somebody else, they have the ability to give people the actual step-by-steps that allow them. Now, this gift is tied to the gift of faith or the gift of confidence. So usually you get confidence, and then after the confidence, you get the step-by-step process. So I give you the confidence that you can be, I give you confidence that you can be wealthy, that you can be wise, that you can have toe-curling relationships, and that you can be healthy. And then somebody else comes along, and they give you, this is how, step-by-step. So I have systems in place, but there are people that have got better systems. Why? Because their whole life, that has been their problem. My problem growing up was stability, instability. Now, there was financial instability. There was relationship instability. There was wisdom instability. That was health instability. But the ability by which to come out of those things, I connected with other people because I connected with my millionaire friends, and they gave me the step-by-step process. That's the gift of miracle. Then I connected with Miles and Rowe, and I connected with other people. They gave me a step-by-step process. That's a miracle. Then I connected with people who gave me a step-by-step process because I didn't have it. But what I did have was a feeling that there's a process out there somewhere. And once I got that feeling that there is a process that is possible, then I drew the process to me. That's a miracle. The gift of miracles is different from the gift of confidence. The gift of confidence says, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to make $1 million, but I'm a millionaire. That's confidence. I'm a millionaire. Then by you establishing that belief that goes from belief to knowing, where you say, you go from saying I want to saying I am blank, I am that, I am. Then once you establish that, boom, somebody shows up and say, okay, this is how you do it. You make more money than you spend. So the working of miracles in 1 Corinthians 12:10 is the step-by-step cistern that it talks about in the book of Jeremiah that freaking holds water. You got a broken cistern. It doesn't hold water. That means it don't bust a grape. That means it don't get no fruit. That means you ain't got no results. So that's totally different from what I do. What I do is I give you a – I said, I don't know how, but you know what? I know it's going to happen. That's me. Then when I leave, somebody else comes in and they say, hey, come over here, youngster. Let me show you. This is the step-by-step process. This is how you do. Now, I have those processes in place, but I learned those processes. And then I implemented them in my life. And there are people that do the same thing that I do, but they do it on a higher level. So you can get it from me or you can just get it directly from them. Number six, so we have wisdom, we got knowledge, we got faith, or again, assurance, confidence. Then we got healing, removing of that uneasy feeling. And then we got a step-by-step process that's called miracles. Then we got number six. Number six is powerful. This is another attribute from the big G. This is called prophecy, 1 Corinthians 12:10. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Now, I like this one. The gift of prophecy means that somebody comes up to you and they say, you're not blank. And the gift of prophecy says, I declare and decree. That's the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the extraordinary ability to pursue the invisible. See, prophecy is the ability to call those things that are not as though they were. The gift of prophecy is it's the gift that takes you from being a believer to a knower. So the gift of the gift of prophecy, because remember, prophecy is the foretelling of the future. So there are some people who have the ability to call to action or to exhibit a way by which to observe and to discern prophecy. Observe, discern. So the ability to observe and to discern stuff that other people can't see. And so when a prophet has confidence like me, but the prophet also has seeing. So I necessarily don't see it. A prophet does. So a prophet can come up to you and see something that I can feel. So I can feel, but I necessarily can't see. Whereas a prophet can see, but they may not be able to feel. They may not have the emotional, but they got the image. They got a visual. They got it's almost like the spirit of discernment, except it goes deeper. Because a prophet has a mental picture. And the way that you can tell a prophet, because they got something called boldness. A prophet always, people get prophets confused because a prophet speaks about shishness that's not possible, that you can't see. It's just like Moses up against the Red Sea. In the story, he's up against the Red Sea and the sea. A prophet would say, Moses, when you get to the Red Sea, it's going to open up. You're going to walk across on dry land. Your feet ain't going to even get muddy. You're not going to get no mud on your shoes. And so Moses would think, or you would think, okay, even if it did open, the waters can't open, but even if they did, the ground's going to be wet. I'm still going to get mud on my shoes. Or a prophet would tell the three Hebrew boys, hey, you know, the king is going to throw you in a fiery furnace because you didn't bow down and eat his food and worship him. But when you're in that fiery furnace, there's going to be a fourth one in you, in there with you. He's the Son of Man. He's going to protect you from the heat. And you're going to get out of the fire. You're not going to be singed, and you're not going to even smell like smoke. Well, anybody with a right brain would be like, okay, how are we going to do that? Well, a prophet can tell the story with such boldness and such power that you'd be like, shit, let's go in the fire, man. Where's the lion at? Let's go jump in the lion's den. A prophet has persuasiveness. They have thoroughness. They have truthfulness. And they have boldness. Prophet. See, the gift, now again, how do you think they developed the gift of prophecy, though? By always saying stuff that never happened. That's how you get the gift. You get the gift. Remember, the way you failure is the key to success. You fail your way to success. See, my confidence, I was so confident about certain things, and I was wrong. I got out of the military. I was confident that some kind of way everything was going to work out. And guess what happened? Car got repoed. House got foreclosed on. Got kicked out. So I failed. That's how you develop your gift, through failure. See, everybody wanted a gift, but nobody wanted to fail. Everybody wanted to go on a mountaintop, but nobody wanted to go to the valley. So the only way to get to the mountain, you got to go to the valley. So the way that you develop your gift is by adversity. At the moment, that's number six, prophecy. Prophecy is, again, is the ability to call those things that are not as though they were before it ever happens. Number seven is the discerning of spirits. Now, I got this gift too, but it's not, again, we're talking about the one-word gift. This is the most powerful one. Now, everybody got like three or four of these, but there's one that's like, that's your calling card, that's your meal ticket, that's when a bill got to get paid, and you need a dog to hunt. When you guaranteed it works every time, that you're a one-trick pony. You got other tricks, but you got one trick that's your go-to trick. That's your go-to. Like everybody had, like Michael Jordan had the fadeaway jumper. Every time he needed a shot, he needed to guarantee that shot would go, you know, he would do that turnaround jumper. That's you. That's me. My turnaround jumper is faith or confidence or assurance. Why? Because I never had it. Now I know how to get it. But I had to learn it. Now, some people it's wisdom. Some people it's knowledge. Some people like me, it's confidence or assurance. Some people it's healing. Some people it's miracles. Some people it's prophecy. Some people it's the discerning of spirits. Now, that one's easy. That means spirits meaning energy. That means somebody walk up to you and say, hey, man, you're the greatest thing to slice bread. I'm with you. You know what? This and other. And you see right through them. And you just say, yeah, okay, that's great. And the whole time, there's a little voice in your head that's saying, this fool's full of beep, 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 beep. But you know what? You're a nice person, so you're not going to call them out on it. You just listen to their sales pitch, and then you say, okay, thank you very much. I will call you. Don't call me. And then you exit stage left. That's the discerning of spirits. But how do you think you get that gift? You get that gift because you've been took to the cleaner so many times, you came around in every multi-level marketing company that came through town, you jumped on it, and you lost your shirt and your mama's and your daddy's shirt. That's how you get the discerning of spirits. Because you've been engaged with so many different spirits throughout your life, and they waxed the flow with you. So after 20 or 30 years of being mopped, I've been used as a mop by spirits, all of a sudden now, where did spirits at? Now you can spot spirits because they've been spotting you. So after years of being used by ruling dispositions, all of a sudden you are ruling disposition recognizer. That's a gift. So now you can teach other people. So your product, your service, your information that you give, you put it in the form of a book. You put it in the form of a blog. You put it in the form of a podcast. You put it in the form of, you know, fashion. You can put it in any vehicle. You can put it in any package. But at the end of the day, it helps people to stop being taken advantage of by smooth talkers. That's your gift. And so, therefore, you get paid. So you sell the discerning of spirits. But you don't go and tell people, hey, my product that I'm going to sell is, no, you're going to say, hey, I got a book on, you know, how to invest in the stock market. Because you got a gift that say, oh, you know, ABC. Everybody's saying ABC Corporation just came out, and everybody say, hey, go put all your money into it. But you know what? You got a feeling. You like you've seen other companies that came out the gate really high, just like ABC Incorporated, and then they crashed and burned. Because you know, because you invested in 20 other companies just like ABC, and you lost your shirt. So now another company like ABC come out, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, but you got a discerning spirit because you've been through it already. And so now you come with your experience, not book knowledge, and you say, hell, dude, you might not want to invest all your money. Maybe some. Like I was watching American Greed, that dude, Efren Taylor. He went to all black, primarily black churches. And he milkmaned this one couple from Lakewood, and there was a Caucasian couple, $1.3 million gone. Their whole life savings, it wasn't even theirs, it was their father's, I think. It was such a sad story. Because the dude is sitting in prison right now, but they $1.3 million, their whole life savings. Now they're in their, you know, 50s, 60s, they thought they were going to be retired. Guess what? They are working jobs. Why? They did not have a discerning spirit. Now, if they would have talked to me, I would have told them, I don't care how good it is. You don't invest you don't put all your eggs in one basket. I don't care how great that basket is. I don't care how great it is. Even my, you don't never, ever, ever put all your eggs in one basket, ever. I don't care how great that basket is. But they didn't have a discerning spirit, and they didn't know nobody with a discerning spirit. So this dude, Efren Taylor, now you got to Google this dude's name. This dude was 25 at the time. He's in prison right now. And he was the head of some publicly traded company. It was on American Greed. I love watching that show. Why? Because it just shows what people, and it's interesting, the people who get took are greedy. That's why it's called American Greed. Now, they had $1.3 million. They ain't got to do nothing, just live off the interest. You know that the interest off of $1.3 million a month is just at 3%? Just at 3%, you're bringing in close to, you know, between 7 and 10 grand a month just on the interest off the principal. But that wasn't enough. They were greedy. Guess what happened? They got took to the cleaners along with 400 or 500 other people that this dude raped to the tune of $16 or $17 million. By the time he got busted, he had took $16 million. All because of why? Number seven. They knew nobody who had a discerning spirit. Number eight. This one is an interesting one. This one is diverse. It's called diverse kinds of diverse tongues. And then eight and nine are very simple. Eight is diverse tongues. Nine is the interpretation of tongues. So eight, again, these are gifts. That this is how you know if you want to use the word saved. Or this is how I know if you're saved or not. Why? Because remember, this is like God, like part of God's body put in your body. It's like God put himself inside of you. So when I ask people, what is God? And I wait, and I watch their eyes gloss over. And then I ask people, who is God? And I wait, and I watch their eyes gloss over. Why? Because they can't equate. God is not a dude that's sitting in the sky in a big chair. God exposes, and expands himself as attributes and characteristics. So these attributes and characteristics of God, that is God. Now, let me make sure you understand that, because everybody, a lot of people, have difficulty connecting with God. Therefore, you don't know God. So to the degree that you know yourself is the degree, because yourself, the spiritual part of you, that's God. So your spirit comes from God. That's why it goes back to God upon death. Your soul, is a computer or the recording device that records the activities that you do on this earth as God. The body is the vehicle that your soul drives, but it takes your spirit along for the ride. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, when it talks about diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of those tongues, that is a manifestation of the gift. Now, diverse kinds of tongues has to do, tongues meaning talking. So there's different kinds, levels, or ways. It is a special, it doesn't really have anything to do with a different means, meaning like, I'm not saying that it's more than that. It comes from the Greek word glossa, or glossolalia. I have a book called Glossolalia and Exolalia. So it has to do the ability by which to import a specific meaning. It has to do with linguistical power. So it has the ability, it's the ability to do what I do, and that is use didactic teaching to transform, but the spirit comes, this power comes from God. It's called glossolalia, G-L-A-G-L-O-S-S-A-L-I-L-I-A, glossolalia. So it's a word that means the ability to break down frequencies linguistically. So it's kind of knowing what to say. And the other gift is the ability to interpret what was said. So there were people who have been lied to so much that when you lie to them, they can tell that you lie. Why? They grew up in an environment where people who talked a lot, who said a lot of great shizness, but their linguistical power, that's what it means. It means linguistical power. Some people have supernatural knowledge that transforms or transports a belief through language. Now, where I'm from, those are called smooth talkers. Those are called people that got a mouthpiece. So in the Greek and in the Aramaic and in the Latin and in the Septuagint, it means linguistical intercourse. It's like some people can talk so good, it's like verbal intercourse. That's what it means. Linguistical intercourse. That's a gift that comes down from the Pleroma or the Pleru or the forefather. Now, it's supposed to be used to do what I'm doing. Because remember, this is one of my lesser gifts. Now, everybody has one primary, and then you got two or three, and I have this out of the Dear Kenny report as well. You got one primary gift that does what? The amount of knowing you have determines the amount of potential. Number one, the amount of knowing. Do you know your gift? See, I know that I am very confident. Therefore, the amount of potential is determined, or my amount of potential determines the amount of action I take. The amount of action I take determines the amount of results I get. So it starts with the amount of knowing about my gift determines the amount of potential. The amount of potential determines the amount of action. The amount of action determines the amount of results. The amount of knowledge determines the amount of potential. The amount of potential determines the amount of action. The amount of action determines the amount of results. The amount of knowledge determines the amount of potential. The amount of potential determines the amount of action. The amount of action determines the amount of results. And the circle just keeps going. More knowledge, more potential. More potential, more action. More action, more results. More knowledge. That's why y'all think I do knowledge all day, every day, 24/7, 365. Why? I am increasing my confidence. More confidence, more power. More power, potential, more action. More action, more results. Anybody want more results? I don't know about y'all. Is there anybody listening to the sound of my voice that want more results? Anybody? Am I the only one? Oh, somebody out there interested? Oh, okay, cool. You're in the right spot. So the amount of potential, brother, the amount of results comes from your gnosis, your knowledge, your ability to under, over, and understand your spiritual gift. Period. So since you don't know, you can't grow. So my job is to expand your knowing, not your belief system. You can believe in whatever. You can believe in Santa Claus. You can believe in the Easter Bunny. You can believe in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's great. But tell me what you know, brother. Tell me what you know, sister. Since you know not, you have not. I can tell you why people don't get results. Because they don't know. They believe in Santa Claus. They believe in Rudolph. They believe that rabbits lay eggs. That's cool. But when you're done, When you finish with your belief system, you might want to know some shiznit. Because if you don't know nothing, you can't power nothing. You can't power nothing, you can't act upon nothing. You can't act upon nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. That's just basic country talk right there. To the degree that you know, brother, that's the degree that you got potential. To the degree that you got potential, you can only take action based upon the amount of potential. And the amount of action determines the amount of results. If you want more results, brother, you need more action. If you want to take more action, you need more potential. If you want more potential, you need more gnosis. Not believing, knowing. Spiritual gifts are the source of all power. Let me say it again. Father, touch the minds of your people. Your spiritual gift is the source of all power. It's the Greek word pneumatikos. Pneumatikos, my brother. Pneumatikos, my sister. That is the Greek for the English spirit. That comes from charisma, charismata, which means gift of the spirit. So we got charismata, pneumatikos. That means you got a gift, spirit of God, that allows you to express, expose, and expand metadamonia, or metadamone, metodidima, metadidomia. That's a Greek word that means give over, to share, to give, to import. That's why you are on this planned net to give. See, as a giver, that allows you to receive to him that give, and it shall be given. To the degree that you give is the degree that you receive. So therefore, if you want more money, give more money. But what is money? Money is currency. What is currency? Currency is a frequency. It's a wave. It's a vibration. It's a feeling. Give more feeling, you get more money. What I sell the feeling of confidence. What you selling? But I sell it in the form of a product, a service, or information. See, since you don't know what you're selling, you don't know what you're giving. So if you don't know what you're giving, you don't know what you're receiving. To him that has not, the little that he does have is going to be taken from him. See, God is saying, oh, you don't know me? Guess what, boo-boo? You don't know me? I don't know you. Bump you and the horse you rode in on. That's what the big G told me to share with you today. Now, let me share over sin, because this comes directly from the forefather, not the father, the father before your father. The forefather. The forefather running the show. See, the best way that you can give is to give yourself. Because once you give yourself, your spiritual self, that allows you to increase your spiritual awareness, knowledge, gnosis. You and I, we have a very, very unique opportunity today. That opportunity that is here before you is for you to receive public recognition or public disapproval based upon your giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Many people give with the wrong motives. Your motive for your giving is to further the word and the work of the forefather and to meet the needs and the desires of others. That's why each and every one of us was given these talents or these skills or these gifts by the forefather, the big G. Each and every one of us have something that we can do, and that's called a diakonia. Diakonia is a Greek word that means service or ministry. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the word ministration, not ad, but ministration, gives us the English word deacon. The English word deacon comes from the word that means helps or helper or ministering or minister. Each and every one of us, we are servants. We are ambassadors. We are the offspring, we are the children of the Most High God, the forefather, the father of fathers, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. We have a spirit-given capacity and a spirit-given desire to serve through the process of giving. Give, and it shall be given. That's it. Give. The gift of serving is the gift of giving. Give. Give, brother. Give, sister. It's in your nature. You are designed to give. Because your father is omnibenevolent. That means he's always giving. He's a giver. He's not a receiver. So are you. I'm not saying that you don't receive, but your primary source, the reason that you're on this planet, is to give, not to receive. You're here to give. How do we give? We give from what the Father gave us. See, you give not by getting. You ain't got to go learn a skill. You was given something, and you give that. Don't try to go get a gift. You was already given a gift. The gift is what you've been through. See, what you've been through is what you've called to do. So don't tell me what you learned from school. Don't tell me what you picked up off no YouTube video. Don't tell me what you are regurgitating from, you know, T.D. Jakes or Creflo Dollar. Tell me what the Father has placed down inside of you. What is your gift? What is your talent? What is your skill? What is the trait? What is the attribute? What is the characteristic that was placed inside of you by the forefather? What is it that you've been through, brother? What is it that you've been through, sister? Whatever you've been through, that's what you've called to do. Don't tell me what you've learned. Don't tell me what you like. Tell me what you've been through. Tell me what almost killed you. Tell me what the devil has dragged you through. Tell me the valley. Don't tell me about your successes. Tell me about your failures. What have you failed in? What are you most ashamed of? What is it that you don't want nobody else to know? What is it, brother? What is it, sister, that you buried deep down inside your soul that you would never, ever, ever, you got it in your closet. Take that skeleton out your closet. What is the skeleton that's in your closet? What is it that you don't want nobody on earth to know? Because you see, brothers and sisters, when you give wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, excuse me, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, diverse kinds of language, and the interpretation of those language being the linguistical power that is in the words, not the language that you speak, but the substance that's behind the language. There's a lot of people that they send out a lot of different intent, and then there are people that can interpret that intent. When you do one of those nine, it allows you to receive the other nine. When you give the nine, you receive the nine. You give knowledge, you give faith, you give healing, you give miracles, you give prophecy, you give discernment, you give linguistical power, you give the interpretation of that linguistical power, you receive love, you receive joy, you receive peace, you receive long-suffering, you receive gentleness, you receive goodness, you receive faith, you receive meekness, and you receive temperance. That's the nine fruits of the Spirit. The nine gifts, you get back nine, lines up with each gift. Number one, if you give wisdom, you get back love. Number two, if you give knowledge, you get back joy. Number three, this is what I give. If you give faith, if you give confidence, if you give assurance, you get back peace. Number four, if you give healing, you get back long-suffering. Number five, if you give miracles, the process, you get back gentleness. Number six, if you give prophecy, you get back goodness. Number seven, if you give the discernment, number seven, discernment, you get back faith, assurance, or confidence. Number eight, if you got linguistical power, if you got a different ways, you can say a word and it contains power. If you got kinds of words, you get back meekness. Lastly, number nine, the interpretation of that substance that's inside of the different types of language, the interpretation of tongues, which is the interpretation of linguistical power, you get back temperance. You got nine gifts, one primary. What is your one primary? And then you got secondary gifts. My one primary gift is assurance. And in return, when I give out assurance, I get back peace of mind. Brothers and sisters, what do you give out? What do you get back? You give out wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, linguistical power, and the interpretation of that linguistical power. In return, you get back love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, or love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. 9 and 8 attributes, characteristics of God, and in return, you get immediate measurable results. So if you do not have, if I meet you on the street and you don't have fruit, one of these 9 pieces of fruit, then I know that you do not know, so that you cannot grow. And since you don't know, then you cannot activate the kirka or the circle that produces IMRs. What you know establishes your potential. Your potential empowers you to act. Your actions empowers you to have. So if you don't know, you can't have these 9 fruits. If you don't know one of those 9 gifts, you do not have one of these 9 fruits. It's extremely imperative that you know, not wish, not hope. And the way that you know is like me, there's something that you did not have growing up all through your life. Even now, you still don't have it. You have to fight tooth and nail for it. You're fighting. Even as I'm talking right now, you're in a battle. All your life, you've been fighting the same thing. With 9, with me, it's real easy. Stability. Assurance. Having assurance. Knowing. Being so sure. I never had that. What's missing, brothers and sisters? What is it that you never had? What's missing? Is it wisdom? Did you grow up without wisdom? Did you grow up in an environment of ignorance? Is it knowledge? Did you grow up in an environment where there was no gnosis, the inability to have understanding on what was said? Wisdom is the application of what is being said. Did you not have application in your life? Did you not have what to apply in your life? Did you not have, like I did, assurance in your life? Did you grow up in an environment where you didn't have, everything was uneasy? Everybody had no peace? There was no healing? There was no peace? Did you grow up in an environment that where there was no processes in place? Everybody had goals, but nobody knew how to reach those goals? Did you grow up in an environment where there was everybody set goals, but nobody could accomplish goals? There was no miracles in your life? Did you grow up in an environment where there's nobody could tell you, you know what, this time next year, we're going to own a house? Did you grow up in an environment where there was no prophecy, where nobody said, this is what we're going to do, and then it was done? Did you grow up in an environment where there was no prophecy? Did you grow up in an environment where people came in and everybody thought that there was one thing and they turned out to be a crook? Did you grow up in an environment where, you know, Uncle John showed up and everybody loved Uncle John, but come to find out Uncle John was following everybody in the family? Did you grow up in an environment where nobody could discern the spirits that was in that family? Did you grow up in that environment? Did you grow up in an environment where there's a bunch of smooth talkers, where people talk to big game, but they never did nothing? They always tell me, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go here, we're going to do this, we're going to go, but nothing never happened. There was a bunch of tongues, there was a bunch of talking, and there was no action. Did you grow up in that environment? Did you grow up in an environment where there was no interpretation, where people was buying the smooth talkers? Did you grow up in an environment where every salesman that came and knocking on y'all door, they was buying what that salesman was saying? Did you grow up in that environment? Did you grow up in an environment where there was no interpretation of the words that was being said, where you could not understand people coming up to you? Did you grow up in an environment when you would go to church and you hear the preacher talk and you could understand a word that was coming out of his or her mouth? Did you grow up in an environment where you could not interpret tongues? You grew up in one of those 9 environments. Whatever that, whatever environment that you grew up in, you're still in that environment. And until you master that environment, you have no knowledge. If you have no knowledge, you have no potential. If you have no potential, you can't take action. If you can't take action, you cannot produce fruit. And brothers and sisters, fruit gives you freedom. And that freedom continues so that you can operate in faith. Faith, fruit, and freedom. That is the key that you are part of the kingdom. That's the key to get you into the kingdom so you can hang out with the king. That's the kingdom me and Ash Trenison is all about. If you're interested, email me today, masterteacher33@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, I am the one and only Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, the forefather. May the forefather bless you. And may the illuminated one, the Christos, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne.
Listen.
Don't let them entities take up your home.
Tripping.
Cause you're the entity that made them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow.
Yeah.
I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm Liddy, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, and say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.